Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I do want to welcome each one of you. It is good to be here, special occasion like this. I've been challenged already by the songs, devotions, our love for Jesus. What is my love for him? And I think we all have come to this communion service. I'm pretty sure that most of you have been to a communion service before. And always with communion, Brother Sim already mentioned this, is the thought of remembering, the thought of memorial, the thought of thinking of something there. So that's what I was thinking about memorial. Memorial means created or done to honor a person who has died or to remind people of an event in which many people died. That's what a memorial is. So this is a memorial service. We are here to honor a person who died. But thank the Lord that he didn't stay dead, right? He rose from the dead. And we say we're going to partake of emblems. Emblems means an object or picture used to suggest a thing that cannot be shown. Children, I'm going to tell you just a short little story. And this is for the older children too. Because we all like stories. Since you don't have Sunday school, I'm going to tell you just a little story. Just to show you the importance of reminders. Some of us are easily to forget things. It is very hard for me to remember everything that was preached at the last communion service. So we all need reminders. I don't have nothing new this morning. I'm pretty sure somebody preached a message similar to the one I want to preach here some years ago. I don't remember very good. But children, we do need reminders. I'll tell you a little story, a little boy. This is a true story. Okay? This little boy was 3 years old. And like most 3 years old, he loved to talk. Right? Yeah, we have a 3-year old at the house and she likes to talk. Well, this little boy, he got very sick one day. I don't remember exactly what fever he had. Typhoid fever, it sounds right, but I'm not exactly sure about that. But he got very, very sick. And through all that sickness, he lost the capacity of the ability to hear. He could no longer hear. So you know what happened to the poor 3-year-old boy? He forgot how to talk because he could not hear himself, neither could he hear other people. So consequently, through his years, it wasn't very long at all that he lost his ability to pronounce his words. So he developed his own dialect, his own pronunciation of words. Some words got warped up so bad that just the people that knew him very well knew what he was saying. He was just a few years older than Brother Johnny. So this boy, he forgot how to speak because he could not hear anymore. Well, that's so sad. So sad story. And he was a very good friend of ours growing up. Growing up, we learned to communicate with him through signs. You could pronounce the words like he pronounced them, and he could look at you and he would understand. He was a very smart boy, very smart. But he could not talk right. And to this day, he is still the same. He can hardly say or pronounce words very good. That's a sad story, isn't it? But that shows you the importance that we need to keep hearing. If he could have just heard words being spoken to him, he would have kept on talking like a normal boy. And now he's a grown man. Like I said, he's a little older than Brother Johnny is. But that's just a little story. And we don't understand why God allows things like that. But the importance too for us to hear things. This morning, the title of the message, I'm going to write it here on the board. And I'm going to just draw a little picture here. I thought about Brother Donnie. And probably Brother Donnie would have just brought a better illustration. But I'm just going to write it here on the board. The title of the message this morning is Piles of Stones is the title for the message. And we're going to go to the book of Joshua to get this message. And I have five different piles of stones. We have number one here. And I'm just going to draw them over here. Like I said, I thought about bringing a wheelbarrow full of stones. That Brother Donnie probably would have done. But I'm just going to draw it because it's easier like this than bringing a wheelbarrow load. And if the children, if anybody is taking notes, if you want to do it this way, it's fine. If you want to do it some other way, it's also fine with me. This is just one big one right here. So I'm going to give you 5 points, and I'm not going to write the points, and you just catch them as we go. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, we have enjoyed it tremendously. Last year we went to Bible school and we studied this book for 3 weeks. So no wonder it kind of got to a special place in my heart for this. And there's so many things in there that we can learn. But this morning I just want to compare the piles of stone that Joshua set up with our memorial service this morning. It seems to me like every time something special happened, Joshua was setting up stones. He was always calling, hey, put some stones here. Let's put some piles of stones, and we're going to see the first one. The first one, yes, we have 5 of them. The first one we're going to look at is probably the most important one. Joshua chapter 4. We're going to read verse 5 through 9. You remember the story. They come to the Jordan River. And Joshua ordered the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And as soon as they were stepping into the water, he said, the waters will stop. It took a lot of faith to do that. And then all the people could pass the Jordan River, just like they did the Red Sea. Joshua chapter 4, verse 5. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord. Okay, let me stop again here. And they have passed the Jordan River. They already passed. And he commands 12 men to go. This is chapter verse 5. Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. I think on my drawing, I did draw more than 12 stones on number one. I forgot that this one did have 12 stones. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when he passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodge, and laid them down there. Now please notice verse number 9. I didn't realize it until you. I was reading it probably yesterday. I was reading it. All of a sudden it hit me. These are two different piles of stones. In verse 9 it says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan. In the Spanish it says, and Joshua also set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. So he commands 12 of his men to take the stones and carry them to the place where they were going to set up camp. And he also sets up a monument. He sets a pile of stones in the middle of the river. And the waters came, and I can envision the pile of stones above the water to show the point where the priest has stood whenever the water had parted. Now, jump with me to verse 23. Verse 22, I'm going to read verse 22. Here he gives us three reasons why they had this memorial. And I have not even given you the number one. But number one, the stone, the pile of stones number one, I would like to put there is deliverance or salvation. And you can put in parentheses the passing of Jordan. That was the pile of stones. Deliverance and salvation, passing of Jordan. Verse 22, then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And the first reason why they set a memorial is so they will not forget. How many times do we forget things? We forget things all the time. And like Brother Sim said, it's such a special morning, a special service to come to a communion service, just to stop and to think again what Christ has done for us. That was the reason why they set up a big pile of stones. And the second reason, in verse 24, is that testimony of others, for others, to others, that they might know the hand of the Lord, that he is mighty. And that's what happened to the Gibeonites. They heard of the powerful hand of God, and they got scared, and they come up with a very unique plan. They didn't care, well, we might as well be servants to these people instead of being dead meat. So we're just going to go and try to deceive him, because we are dead either way. We're going to risk our necks and see if we can convince him. And that's what they did. For a testimony of others. This morning it can be a testimony to others. And the third reason is that they might fear the Lord your God forever. There's so many types that we can draw from the journey of the Israelites in their journey from Egypt into the promised land, and the passing of Jordan and going to the promised land. And one of the things that the greatest thing that I can think of is the type of a great deliverance. Hebrews 2 verse 3 says, how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's not just salvation, you know, maybe barely making it. It's a great salvation, which are the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. So this is probably the main reason for the service this morning. This is our pile of stone right here. As we commemorate, it's a memorial that we will not forget. There will be a testimony for others. and that we may fear the Lord our God forever, because it's a great salvation that he has provided for us. Do you know that there in Romans, I wasn't even planning to say this, but there in Romans it says that we all have sinned and we have come short of the glory of God. And I told the congregation at Calvary that verse. And in Spanish, in the English language, probably not to you, but to me, it seems like it's, well, we tried, but we came short to it. We came short to the glory of God. In the Spanish Bible, it says that it doesn't even give that idea. We were destituidos. We were barred from it. We were fired. We were excluded. We were just done away with. We didn't even come close to the glory of God. And that's where we were. But guess what? Isaiah 53 verse 5 says like this. This is a verse I shared the last evening of Brother Donnie's meetings here. I told you a story of a very bad, sinful captain that found salvation in his deathbed. Because there was a boy there that read Isaiah 53 verse 5 to him and he put his name on it. And he says like this, but he, Jesus, was wounded for Henry's transgressions. He, Jesus, was bruised for Henry's iniquities. Please put your name in there. Make this verse personal. The chastisement of Henry's peace was upon him. And with his stripes, Henry is healed. It's because of the work of Jesus, brothers and sisters, that I can be here. How can we go through a communion service without mentioning John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I love the next verse. For God sent not his Son into the world, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a wonderful thing. What a great salvation. And I thought and I debated and I prayed whether to preach a message about Jesus being our Savior. But that is part of the message this morning. That we will not forget. These piles of stones this morning is a reminder for us what Jesus has done. Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That includes you and I. In John 1:29, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, whenever the next day John sees Jesus coming to him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So many times we forget what we have been rescued from. I already have shared this with you. And I'm here to remind you again. The conditions that we were without Christ. It was destituidos of the glory of God. It was short. I'm fine with that term. You know what I'm trying to say. We didn't even come close to the glory of God. And I can get very excited about this subject. That is the main focus of the gospel. That is the main message of the gospel, is that there is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the reason why we have gathered this morning, to celebrate this great salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I thought about the questions that are asked at baptism. The first three of them pertain to God and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The question number two says like this. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, so that through him we might have eternal life? And of course, that day we were baptized, we were very nervous because everybody was watching us. But right now, as we are sitting down and we are relaxed, Brother Sim said, I'm not sure about all of us, but we relax, right? Think about that. Think about the question. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for my sins so that through him I might have eternal life? Make it personal. There in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, Paul is explaining a little bit more about the supper of Christ, the Lord's Supper, the communion service. And verse 11, verse 24, it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This phrase right here, he had given thanks. That phrase, there is a one word in Greek, and it is Eucharisteo, which means to be grateful, to express gratitude, especially to say grace at a meal, thanks. And do you know that the Catholic Church and the Orthodox and the Anglicans and the Presbyterian Lutherans, they still call the communion, they call it the Eucharist, the Eucharistia, they said in Spanish. That's what they call the supper. Now, most Protestant denominations rarely use this term. They prefer communion, like we do, the Lord's Supper, the breaking of the bread. But I just like the thought that there's people that call this memorial, these piles of stones that we're here this morning, they call it the Eucharist. Basically means thanksgiving. And that's what this service should be. This should be a thanksgiving unto Christ that made provision for us, to make possible that we, a sinful creature, we can get right with a holy God. The pile of stones, number two. Go with me to Joshua chapter 7. You know what happens in chapter 6? They have such great victory over Jericho. They do some strange battle strategies there. They march around. And Joshua told the people specifically, do not take anything for yourselves. We're going to consecrate the gold. I believe that was correct. They will consecrate the gold for God. If I'm wrong, you correct me. But then in chapter 7, there was a man that saw the glitter of gold. And he saw that Babylonian garment. And he thought, man, I would look good in that thing. And he took it and hid it in his tent. And you know what happens? They went to Ai to fight. And there were 36 men that were killed because there was sin in the camp. And Joshua falls on his face. And he says, Lord, what's going on? You told me that no man would withstand me. What's happening? Something is wrong. And the Lord said, what are you doing on your face? Get up. Do something about this. There is sin in the camp. And there, you know the whole story. In chapter 25, they cast lots, and they say they find out that Achan was the troublemaker here in the verse 25 and 26. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stone him with stones, and burn them with fire. And they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And Uncle Jerry has helped me to understand this verse a little better. I have trouble sometimes understanding whether his children were stoned with him. I used to think that maybe his sons were grown up and his daughters were grown up and they knew and they helped with this. Now that could be possible. That Deuteronomy 24 verse 16, it says that the son will not die for the sins of the father. And here he says that they stoned him and they burned them. So we have concluded with Uncle Jerry that on the them part, it was him with his animals. But it was him that was stoned. Now, that just to throw that out there, there's nothing much to just something to think about. But they raised a heap of stones on top of Achan. Can you imagine? I mean, this was not a congregation like ours here of 89 people, 89 stones. No, this was a multitude. And if everybody just carried a stone, they made a huge pile of stones on top of Achan. And also, there was another one whenever they went and fought. I'm just going to throw this other pile of stone here on the same one for us in point number two. But if you go to chapter 8, verse 29, and I'm going to give it to you here shortly. 8:29, and the king of Ai, he hang on a tree until eventide, and as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lifted up any iron. And they offered their own burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark, and on that side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. Now notice verse 34. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. Are you ready? Should we read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy this morning? That's what Joshua did. So should we get started? The point I would like to make here, Joshua, here's two piles of stones again, and we're just going to condense it in one. As we partake of our pile of stone this morning, as our memorial service, one of the implications that we make is that we are done with sin. We are done with sin. That's the pile number two. The pile of stones number two is we are done with sin. In question number four, the baptism vows kept coming to my mind, because this is what we do. In question number four, the bishop asks before you are baptized, ask these questions. Are you truly sorry for all your past sins? And are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires? This morning, as we partake of the emblems, we are reminding ourselves of our position with sin. We are done with sin. May Achan, may the old man be under a big pile of stones. Romans 6:11 says that. He says, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Pile of stones number three. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 10. Here we have a tremendous battle. There was five kings that come together to fight. In verse 10 through 14. Pile of stones number three. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with a sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in that day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jashar? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about the whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Now jump to verse 17. Well, maybe I should just tell you the story. They are the five kings. They fled and they hid themselves in the cave. And Joshua said, we don't have time to mess with them. Put a bunch of stones in front of the cave and put some men to guard it, that they will not get away. And they continued to chase the enemies. And whenever they got done slaughtering a bunch of people, they come back and say, okay, open up the cave. And here are the five kings. And they slaughter them. They kill them. And in verse 27, and it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave where they had been hid, and laid gray stones in the cave's mouth, which remain unto this very day. There's Joshua again with his piles of stone. Put him in that cave, they're dead, make a big pile of stones in front of him. Point number three, our pile of stones. I would like to suggest to us that it's a continuous, fierce battles, but victorious. It's a continuous, fierce battles, but victorious. There's a couple comparisons that we can make here. As we take all the emblems this morning, we are reminded that we are still in a battle. Somebody, I think, already mentioned that we are in a battlefield. We are fierce battles. Not against flesh or blood, it says Corinthians, but against principalities, against the powers of darkness. But I want to remind each one of us that as God fought for them, God fights for us. And God gives grace. And God gives strength. And God gives endurance. If you study the amount of hours that these men fought. And Joshua said, please don't let the sun go down. We got to finish this battle. We have to obtain victory. We are not going to bed tonight until we are done. And how many of us are ready to give up and said we are done? If we lost, we lost, God. I'm giving up. God forbid. God gives the victory. He gives victory. Question number five, or baptism of vows. Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and His word, and be faithful to abide in the same until death? And we have promise that we will. That we do promise. Sometimes it seems to be a discussion about what part do I play in the battles. And what part does God play? What is my responsibility? I like the story here in Joshua and believe this is how it works in our spiritual battles today. We need to move forward. God doesn't automatically remove the battle from us. He did some miraculous things. He killed more people from the hailstones than by the sword. But you know what? Joshua still had to move forward. I think if we move in faith and we say, God, I don't have the strength to conquer this, that God will honor that and God will give you the strength to overcome our battles. And I don't care how big they are. They can seem impossible. I think of Goliath and David. No match whatsoever. A little good-looking, blonde-headed boy with a sling and with a stick going against a giant, ugly-looking critter, probably tattoos everywhere, swearing, cursing, big, all kind of armor on him. No wonder he laughed at David. But David came in the name of the Lord of hosts. And that's what we need to do. We need to move forward. There's a continuous battle. So we take communion this morning. Well, I'm reminded we're still in a battle, but God wants to give us the victory. It's through God. We get a hold of God and we keep going. Now, let's go to Joshua chapter 22 for the power of those stones, number 4. Joshua 22. If you keep reading, there was a lot of conquest and a lot of distributing the land. And who got this and who got that. And there in chapter 22, you remember the story. The Reubenites and the Gadites and the half a tribe of Manasseh had gone with the rest of them because they had gotten their land on that side of the Jordan. But Joshua said, you need to go and help these people because they already helped you settle over here. So you go do your part and go with them. So now the time has come that the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half a tribe of Manasseh got to go back. So they send them back and they have a lot of stuff that they have collected from the conquest. And there in chapter 22, verse 10. You remember what happens. They get to the Jordan River and somebody comes up with an idea. They have learned this from Joshua. Hey, let's make a pile of stones here for a reminder. And there in verse 10, and then when they came unto the borders, I'm in Joshua 22, verse 10, of Jordan. They came to the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan. A great altar to see to. It was a big one. Joshua made some big heaps of stone. They made a good one too. It was a good one. And the children of Israel heard about this. And you know what happens? The whole children of Israel gathered together and they were ready to go to war. These people cannot be acting this way. There's only one altar that we're going to have for the Lord. And we are jealous and we're going to go and destroy them. So thank the Lord somebody get this idea. Hey, why don't we just send the 10 or 11 people. I think it was 10 princes that they sent with Phinehas. And go inquire. And Phinehas didn't ask any questions. He told him, listen, what you have done is wrong. You cannot be doing this. Verse 24. And they explain. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak to our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you. Ye children of Reuben, the children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we say, let us not prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we, that it shall be, when they should so say to us or to our generations in times to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord, to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifice beside the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle. And when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation and heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him heard the words that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. In verse 44, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed. For he shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. What a beautiful story. We can draw a lot of teachings from this about a brotherhood. We have heard a lot of teachings about brotherhood, and rightfully so, because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we struggle. That's where we need help. The pile of stones number four, I would like to call it a commitment to the brotherhood. A commitment to the brotherhood. And just the thought, the English language, what we call communion. We don't call it that way in Spanish. We call it the Lord's Supper. Well, actually, we call it the Holy Supper. Santa Cena, we call it. We don't call it communion. So I have learned to appreciate that term that we use in English, because it means a common union. A common union. We are together in this. You cannot be doing your own thing. As we partake of the emblems this morning, we are saying we are together. We were all in a bad situation, and we are all rescued by Christ. We are all under the blood of Christ, and we are committed to each other. In the last paragraph that the bishop asks, say to the person that's being baptized, he says, and shall be acknowledged as a member of the body of Christ and a brother or a sister in the church. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with pure heart fervently. And I just love the thought. I know it's hard for me to explain why we have a close communion. And by being close communion, you know what I mean. That it's just the members of the church partake of communion. Why? Because we want to make sure that the brotherhood is committed to each other. We don't know about somebody else that comes. We don't know if they're committed with us. But there was a stone. Remember that. There was a huge pile of stone, great to look upon, that these people have built. Why was it? For a witness that we are on the same boat with you. Said you, we don't want your children to, after a while, said you are on the other side of the river. You don't have part with us. God forbid that we do that. That there will be rivers between us and say, you don't have part with us. We do need this. We do need these brothers. In the last one, I drew just one stone because this was just one great stone that Joshua set up. And we find this in Joshua 23 and 24. Joshua is an old man. He's fixing to pass away. And he collects all the people, and he's going to give the last few instructions. And he's going to give a farewell speech. In verse 23, chapter 23, verse 8. I'm just going to give you the name for this pile of stone. We're going to find it in chapter 24, but we get there in just a little bit. It was just one big stone that Joshua sets up again. One last chance. He said, set up this stone here. For a witness. And he said it was a commitment to be faithful. As we partake of the emblems this morning, we are committing ourselves to being faithful unto God. And that's what Joshua was trying to do here. Get a commitment from these people the last time here. Joshua 23 verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. And I just love that phrase. That means to adhere firmly and closely, or loyally and unwaveringly. Unwaveringly. Get some strong epoxy glue. That glue is amazing to me. Probably some of you sisters don't know what I'm talking about. But sometimes we need to anchor something in concrete. in a chunk of concrete. So we drill a hole, and we stick a big rod or whatever, a big anchor bolt, maybe half inch, 3/4 inch, whatever you want. And you can buy this glue at Home Depot that is two parts that are mixed together. And they go in the hole, and they set up very quickly, probably an hour, 3 hours, definitely by 6 hours. That stuff is harder than concrete. And you can pull and you can jerk, and you will not take it out. You will jerk the concrete before you jerk that epoxy glue. That's what Joshua is saying. Get cleave unto God. Verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. And how should we love the Lord our God? Brother, they're already questioning us in that. How much do we love Jesus? Do we love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and with all our strength? Chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, you know these verses. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and in truth. Be real, be sincere about this. Don't put a veneer, Brother Sim said. It's easy to put a veneer. Don't do that. Be sincere. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Do away with sin and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you know what they said. No, we're going to serve the Lord. Whatever you say, we're going to do. Yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. Verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. That was the last stone that Joshua set up. It was a stone of commitment. Whenever we were baptized, the bishop told us these words, and as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so you also shall walk in newness of life. And as long as you are faithful and abide in the doctrine of his word, you are his disciple indeed, and shall be acknowledged as a member of the body of Christ and a brother or sister in the church. That sounds pretty much like the fifth stone to me. It's a commitment of faithfulness. In conclusion, think about with me of all the piles of stones the Israelites had collected over this period of time. There was one out there coming above the water of Jordan. And there was little Junior, Dad, what is the pile of stones doing out there? And he was supposed to say, that's where the priest stood whenever we crossed the Jordan River. You should have seen that. The water stopped over here like an invisible wall. And we were able to walk. And it was so neat to see all the stones underneath. And there was a few little fishes that were stuck in dry ground. And we collected a few of them. And a little further down the road, there was another big pile of stones. And what about that, Dad? It's the same. We crossed the Jordan River and we camped over here. That was a great deliverance. That was salvation. A little further down the road, They found a huge pile of stones. Dad, what about that one? There was a very, very bad man that was buried underneath a big pile. And that is to remind you and I that we don't mess with a holy God. We need to be done away with sin, son. We need to do away. Don't ever think that you can fool the holiness of God. Because that's what's going to happen to you under a big pile of stones. And they keep going. And they find a huge pile of rocks at the entrance of a cave. Dad, what about that one? And he was said, there was five kings one time that thought they got away. And they tried to hide in there. And Joshua got him out. And we killed him. And we put a big pile of stones over them. What does that mean, Dad? That means that God fights for us. That means that we're still in a battle. Don't let your guard down. We're still in a battle. But God gives grace and God gives victory. There is victory in Jesus. And they sing that song along the way. There is victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. And they keep going. And they come right at the edge of the Jordan River again. A little further down the river, up the river. I don't know where they were. It was. But there was a great altar to see upon. Dad, what about that one? Son, that has a name for that one. The other ones don't have a name. But this one is called Ed. Oh, Ed. What does that mean? That means that there is a commitment in the brotherhood. That means that the other people that live on the other side of the river, they're just like us. They are part of the same congregation. And they come and worship with us. Ah, neat. And they come a little further and they find this huge stone. Dad, what about this one? There's only one here, but it's huge. How did they roll it here? Well, we had to struggle. We had about 1,000 men trying to roll that big rock. But we got it. We pried and we pulled and we cut beams and we tried to leverage and we rolled a big stone. And right there is whenever the old man, Joshua, the leader that we had, he was a great leader. He was fearless. He was courageous. He walked with God. God talked to him and God used him. You should have seen him. One day he even made God to stop the sun and the moon. And that old man stood right there beside that big rock. And he gave us a few farewell. And he told us to be faithful. And he asked us to commit ourselves to faithfulness. And son, I want you to remember this. That those that persevere to the end, they shall be saved. And they keep walking and singing victory in Jesus. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you at this moment. And Lord, we are just reminded that this morning is a memorial service for what you have done. Thank you so much, O God, for the great salvation that we find in the Lord Jesus. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. We have come short of the glory of God. We were even destitute of the glory. But Jesus, who loved us, died for us while we were yet sinners. O God, Jesus took my transgressions. He took our transgressions. By his stripes, we all are healed. Oh God in heaven, we thank you for making a provision for us that we can be right before you. And that Jesus was the offering and ransom for our sins. Oh God, we are indebted to you. We just come down, O Lord, and we want to bow our hearts in humility and brokenness before you and saying, God, will you help us to fight the battles that are ahead of us, to commit ourselves to the brotherhood and to lock arms together and fight for the cause of the gospel, not fight among ourselves,
Oh God, will you please help us to be one in you? Oh God, will you help us to be faithful, to see the big rock that Joshua put, a call of commitment, of faithfulness. Lord, we have promised to be faithful to you, but we cannot do it in our own strength. We ask that you help us. Give us the grace and forgive us for the time we have failed. Oh God, will you please be with Brother Keith in a special way today? Oh God, our hearts go after him, and we are sorry that he cannot join us today. Oh God, will you please help him, oh God, that he will come around and where he will repent. And he will come and be one with us again. Lord, will you bless the remainder of this service. And we thank you for your goodness. It's our prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.